Welcome to the 20th edition.
The big 2-0.
Of One More and I'm Going Home, I'm Going to Bed. Justin Vargo here with Josh Jones. We are recording this episode on Wednesday, January 23rd. And Josh, you want to set the drinking scene?
We are going with vodka cranberry.
Cape Cods.
Yes. And it's good. It's a good drink. You know, if you have it, it's always refreshing, always good. Good in the summertime. But, you know, it's not really a manly drink you would order at a bar. No. And for somebody who doesn't drink beer anymore,
right?
You know, rarely, and has to drink some sort of liquor, mostly whiskey, you don't really go to the bar and you order vodka cranberries. Don't feel too manly. And I thought that perfectly describes our basketball team. It's not too manly. That's so I thought vodka cranberries would be a good drink for the day.
Get on board. Now,
we still like them. You'll drink them. Yeah, if they're around, you'll enjoy them. But they're not manly. And that's exactly what the best one
is. Well, if you go to the bar, you probably, if you say Cape Cod rather than say, give me a vodka and cranberry juice. You know what I mean?
What? I don't understand. It's good for your
bladder. It's a good drink. I got no problem with it. I'm secure enough to drink it. I don't give a shit.
Yeah, that's exactly right.
So, speaking of basketball, let's go ahead and apologize.
Yes.
Because we thought we were going to be good and we're not.
Man, I mean, and just, and then, like you said, they do just enough to disappoint you, and you beat Kansas, and you go lay an egg against Baylor.
Well, let's focus
we've
on...
We've even lost Ivy.
We've lost Ivy. I noticed that. Season. He said today it's football season.
Lost Ivy.
That's how you know it's official. Mm. So let's focus on the glimmer of hope that we had, and I had Jana this weekend, so you and I didn't watch the game together. And we were back and forth, and I think I told you, because the line on the game stayed around 5.
Yeah.
Which was a little bit surprising, mm-hmm. which those guys in Vegas know what they're doing. But
it was a sucker bet.
And you could tell in the first 5 minutes we came to play.
We played, it's the hardest, and the guys on the three guys for the game podcast brought this up. We played hard 2 games this year. Pitt, Kansas.
Yeah.
And we just get up, the team gets up, they should do that every game, but they don't.
They don't.
And that's what's disappointing.
Well, and the thing about that, as that game went on, and I texted you and I told you that they were going to do just enough to give us a glimmer of hope, get me excited. We were going to stay within 5 most of the game and then probably lose by 12. Yeah. And then when it got down to about 5 minutes to go, I told you, well, I was wrong. We're going to stay within 5 and then probably lose by 5. And then we ended up pulling it out.
Well, I mean, we were up 6. They were up 6 with 2.5 minutes to go. They didn't score.
Did not score.
The rest of the time.
That was the best on-ball defense we played all year.
Yeah. And then we didn't play any on-ball defense against Baylor. We'll get to that. But, I mean.
Well, and I think some of the things about that game, Huggins shortened his bench.
Yeah.
We only played 9 guys. Yeah. And McCabe only played 4 or 5 minutes.
Well, and it was one of those 1 out of 7 games where Ahmad wasn't terrible. He wasn't great.
No.
But he hit 2 big threes in that game.
He was 3 of 9 from the field. Yeah. 2 of those were threes.
Mm-hmm.
He played less awful than he had.
Yes.
But I thought two big keys to that game were, number one, we shot the ball 44%. I think it was 44. They were 43. Mm-hmm. We only turned the ball over 13 times.
Yeah.
And they turned the ball over 18 times. And we only took 14 threes. Because let's face it, we're not a three-point shooting team.
No, we think we are. We have guys who think they are. But we're not a three-point shooting team.
And Haley seemed to come out of his shell.
Yeah, I think that was Haley's best game of the year.
Oh,
without a doubt. I mean, he was really good that game. And he shows you the potential that he has. But, I mean, his problem is if you get any kind of he is a detriment on defense.
Oh, without a doubt.
So,
and I think offensively with him, he's starting to figure out that he can't just sit on the perimeter and just pass the ball around like Harler and those other guys do. He's with his size,
he's got to
make something happen.
That's exactly right. He's got to take advantage of it because even if they guard him with a 2-guard, he's bigger than most 2-guards. So, I mean, he's got to take advantage of that. And I wouldn't be surprised if we start running some post plays for him like we used to do with some of our guards. Yeah, absolutely.
I mean, play to your strengths.
You got to play to your strengths.
And his size is a strength.
His size is a strength. Problem is, you got to have somebody throwing the ball. And our best passer is Derek Culver.
It is.
I mean, he is easily our best passer.
And he had a good game against Kansas.
Yes, he did.
I wish, hindsight's 20/20, but you got to wonder if he'd have been available in those first 11 games, if we'd have maybe gotten 3 more wins
Yeah, it might be a different story. I agree. And I tell you what I liked about him. He didn't have a very good first half. In fact, I mean, I think I texted you in the middle of the game. And I was like, he was like, the reason why we're losing is our best player is Culver. Right now he's getting worked. But he responded. He never gave up. Played good in the second half.
Even when he got that rebound and threw the ball away. And Marcus Garrett made a great play. And right there I thought, damn, we're done.
Yeah, me too.
And then Harris D'd up on him. And then we got the ball. And Haley went down and made that play. And then they came down, didn't call timeout. And Self said after the game he wishes he would have called timeout. Yeah. But I can't remember. I think it was LeGarrette Vick. LeGarrette Vick had that shot.
Yeah, I can't believe he settled for a three.
And Lawson, who's a player, by the way,
mm-hmm.
he got the rebound. And he had time to kind of gather himself, but he didn't. He just kind of put it up quick, and we pulled it out. But
I think I texted you at the end of the game. I think I just peed myself.
Yeah,
it was awesome. Not because of excitement, just a pure shock.
And normally, I'm not real big on us rushing the court because I feel like we've established ourselves enough to where we don't need to do that. But given the way this season's gone,
they needed something.
I didn't have a problem with that. Yeah, I mean, those kids were excited. I mean, it was good. But,
yeah.
So we beat a top 10 team. Did a little research.
Uh-huh.
Because there's been some discussion about Huggins' ability to coach this year.
Which kills me.
Yeah. Which we hit on last week. So, actually, before the show, I actually found – because I tried to look this up earlier in the week, and I didn't have any success, but I found a site where it actually went through. And I'm going to work backwards.
Okay.
So, I'm going to go back to Catlett's first year in 1978. Gale Catlett was on the bench for 24 years.
Too long.
Yes. He had in 22 or 23. In 24 years, he had 7 AP top 10 wins. Okay?
Uh-huh.
7.
I'm surprised it was that many.
Now, he beat my junior year of college, sophomore year. One of those two. They all run together. We beat UConn at home.
Mm-hmm.
They were top 10. Mm-hmm. And then we beat Cincinnati in the tournament when Jarrett West hit that bank shot 3 at the buzzer. Three of his top 10 wins out of his 7 were against Temple. Okay? And the other one, he beat Auburn. They were number 10. I think it was 85. And then we beat UNLV when they were number 1. And the other thing that was interesting, looking up the team stats the years he was there, there was like 10 seasons where we didn't even play a ranked team.
And I bet you we didn't make the NCAA tournament in 30% of those 10 seasons.
I guarantee it. I mean, now granted, we were playing in Atlantic 10, so it would bear that out. But you would think if you're playing in Atlantic 10.
Well, his non-conference schedule, that's the reason why he won as many games as he did. His non-conference schedule was atrocious.
Terrible.
I mean, just atrocious. Even if we did well in Atlantic 10 but didn't win it, we still wouldn't make the tournament.
No.
It was frustrating.
So Gale had 7 in 24 years. Now Beilein, who was there for 5 years, Beilein had 7 in 5 years. The biggest was probably the biggest regular season win was probably when we beat UCLA when they were number 2.
That was fun
we
too.
Were at that game.
Yeah,
we beat Wake Forest and then Chris Paul.
That was one of the greatest games I ever remember watching.
And Florida in Charleston when they had Brent Nelson.
Yep.
And then he had 3 other ones or 4 other ones when he was head coach. So 7 in 5 years is
pretty good. He's a good coach.
He's a good coach. Obviously, you can see what they're doing this year.
Thank goodness Dan Dockage walked out.
Did you see what Dockage said the other day?
I try not to listen to anything he says. I mean, honestly, why would anybody pay attention to anything he says? What'd he say? Obviously missed.
It was before the Kansas game,
uh-huh.
And he said West Virginia has not been this big of a mess since I took over for a week and decided to leave. And let me just go ahead and say, Dan, thank you for leaving.
Yes, absolutely. Best thing to happen to our program.
Because that's why your sorry ass is the color commentator on Tuesday night for Big Ten games.
Yes.
You piece of shit. Yeah,
that's exactly right.
I hate that son
of a bitch. I can't stand him.
Oh, he's terrible.
He thinks he's way smarter than he is.
Oh, he's terrible. He's terrible. Let's jump up to Bob Huggins. Bob Huggins is in his 12th season on the sideline in Morgantown. And Bob Huggins in 12 years has 16 top 10 wins.
It's pretty good.
That's more than Beilein and Catlett combined.
Yeah, that's pretty good.
That's not bad.
That's pretty good.
Four of those, actually, no. Five of those were against Kansas.
Yeah. Well, he did have a clause that gave him $25,000 for each win against him. Well, he doesn't have
it
anymore.
Well, he does, but it automatically goes to his mom's cancer research. Pitt twice, which was good. Mm-hmm. Duke in 08 with Joe Alexander.
Yes.
When we beat them in D.C.
Yep.
And in my opinion, probably the biggest one was when we beat Kentucky to go to the Final
Four. Absolutely. Because they were easily.
That's the best team I think we've ever played.
Yeah. I remember, I think it was it Gwynn who was at that game who actually went to it?
It was Gwynn.
And he texted you, he said, these guys are men out here warming up. He said, they're not college students. They are men.
We did not make a 2-point shot in the first half.
No.
That's when we went to that 1-3-1 and Missoula was guarding Boogie Cousins.
Yes.
And Cousins looked at him and said, are you serious right now? He was like, yeah, I'm in your shit right now, boy. I'm on you.
Yes. That was the best victory. That's when our guys were all about playing defense, and they played a hard.
They cared
defense. They cared. We had Wellington at center. I mean, he
was 6'6", 6'7".
Exactly. I mean, we played hard, but we could switch everything.
We could switch everything.
I mean, and we went to that 1-3-1 zone. We covered up so much space with all that height.
We did. We did. So
fun year.
I thought that was
Big East champs.
Big East champs. So Huggins, yeah, let's back off the. Even with the Baylor game, which we'll get into right now, let's pump the brakes on the bad Huggins talk.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. I mean, you got to waste weight. All this talk is going to stop next year when Oscar Tshiebwe comes in.
Did you see what he did?
2020 in the All-Star? All-Star game, but
second,
it was like
the Burger King tournament.
Yeah.
That's the second player in the history of the tournament to have 20 points and 20 rebounds.
Yeah. He's going to be good.
He's good.
And you're going to pair him with Culver next year?
Yeah.
Other teams might not get a rebound.
They might not.
I mean, we're really going to dominate next year on the board. Yeah. Which, thank God, because speaking of rebounding, we were god-awful against Baylor.
That's why we lost the game.
It's easily why we lost the game. I mean, and I remember I texted you.
Ahmad's guy alone.
In the first half, at least five times.
And probably, and how many of them were on free throws?
Yeah, the guy he was blocking out got the ball. And I think Tony tried to put it today, he's like, we were kind of flat-footed. But Ahmad's always flat-footed. Yeah,
that's par for the course.
Yeah,
right?
I mean, that's what drives me nuts. And it seemed a lot worse than it was when it went to the final stats. But it seemed to me like they got every time that they missed, they got a rebound. And the free throws were the worst. In the first half, they were 3 of 14. And I bet you they rebounded 4 of those misses.
Easily.
That's just
and I think in the first half, we were 14 of 22 from the line. Beetle was 10 of 10. Everybody else was 4 of 12.
Yeah. Yeah, we were just as bad. Here's what really got me is, let's make sure I got the right game here. Yeah. So they had 16 offensive rebounds. At the end of the game, we ended up with 16 offensive rebounds.
Really?
By the end of the game. The problem is, they got 20 second chance points. We got 12.
Yeah.
And that will do it.
It's not a recipe for
success.
Yeah,
we couldn't score. When we did finally get offensive rebounds, we couldn't score, and then they did.
I think Culver getting in early foul trouble hurt us.
Yeah.
I think he kind of got out of his game right off the bat.
Yeah.
And that Makai Mason kid, he's tough, man.
He's good.
But, and like you said, and they were talking about it last night on Sportsline, if Javon Carter or Tariq Phillip would have been playing defense on that guy, there is no way he'd have had 29
points. Well, you saw in the second half once Nabber started guarding him, let's face it, Nabber's been terrible this year.
Who, by the way, had a good offensive game. He had good. Even though he did throw the ball away a couple times.
I mean, if he would just quit making the stupid passes, he'd be okay. But he makes the most god-awful
His brain
turnovers.
And his body can't get
on
the same page.
I think the second one, it was more Ahmad's fault because he thought Ahmad was going to actually jump up for the ball, and Ahmad doesn't do shit.
No.
So it kind of went over his head. But it's still, it's just an awful pass. I mean, just an awful pass. There's no excuse for it. But once he started getting in and just annoying Mason coming up the court, he was still getting the ball carrier. I don't know how many turnovers he had in the second half, but it was quite a bit.
The press got us back in the game.
Yeah, Javon Carter would have ate his lunch because he had that high dribble, and that one time Wes Harris snuck up and took the ball from behind. The way he dribbles the ball way out behind him, Carter with that back pick, he'd have picked him 3 or 4 times.
He'd have lit him up.
I mean, I have no doubt he would. And they asked Nathan Adrian today on the guys for the pod or for the game. He said, how many do you think Mason would have got against Carter last year? And Adrian said 8 points.
Yeah, maybe
he got 8 points.
Yeah,
and probably had 6 turnovers.
Easily.
And that's why, and I know it's not all, I mean, that's just not who Haley can guard. That's just not his game. And I thought he did okay, but that Mesa guy would lean into him and then shoot a high one off the glass. Lean into him, shoot a high one off the glass.
He didn't miss a shot inside the 3-point line.
Yeah. I mean, eventually, you got to know what he's going to do. That's what Adrian said. He said, what would you have done? He said, well, that would have been me because I wouldn't be able to stick him either. He said, well, what a normal our guards would have done was turn him to sideways and make him go one way, one direction or another, so he only has a limited another option.
You got to make him commit.
You can't let him be in the middle and dictate which way he's going to go. Nah. And that's what Haley was doing.
Yeah, it was bad. So it was a stark contrast because we only played 9 guys against Kansas. We played 13 against Baylor.
Yeah. Yeah, well, so, I don't know what happened to me in the game, but me and you were both awed that Harris was on the bench to start off with.
At the end of the bench.
And then it wasn't...
Matthews came in first.
So something was up there.
And Matthews didn't play against Kansas.
Yeah, so something was up there. I don't know if anybody asked Huggins about it. I don't think they did because everybody was talking about the loss. No. But something was up there.
Yeah.
With Harris being at the end of the bench and not the first sub coming in.
So do we... And I think Adrian... I didn't listen to the podcast you're talking about, but I listened to Sportsline last night because they asked Nate Adrian about, as well as the press did in the second half, they said, should we have just done that the whole game? And he was like, no, absolutely not.
Well, it's because it hasn't worked. I mean, let's face it, our press hasn't worked, but Pitt and the second half of Baylor. That's the only time our press has worked. So I can understand. I mean, how many games we played so far?
19.
So out of 19, that's 38 halves. We've had 3 halves of good press. That's probably not a ratio you want to press with all the time. But if you have the right personnel, I think you can.
Well, and I think Culver.
Harris.
Napper.
Dooms. Yeah. I think you got to throw Dooms in there. Dooms got that deflate that ball across the middle that Chase Harlow would have never got to.
No.
And then you throw whoever you want to be the other fourth one in there. But
I think we're at the point, and I think you and I are in agreement. I mean, the Kansas win was awesome. I mean, it was great. We enjoyed it for 24 hours. But you and I both know that it wasn't, that game was not going to define this season because we still are who we are.
Yeah, we're who
we are. We were not going to make the NCAA tournament. We're not going to make the NIT. The only thing that Kansas win did was give us hope that we could probably maybe get 3, 4, maybe 5 league wins and get some of these guys a little bit of – get their legs underneath them and get a little momentum going into next year. And then you turn around against Baylor, and that's how you handle success.
Yeah, exactly. Going back to the Huggins thing, I saw something this week. Someone was like, you know, if we had had Teddy Buggins, that would never happened.
Absolutely not. Let me tell
you, Teddy Buggins, we went to the Baylor game last year. We were on the floor. And it was after Teddy Buggins had a couple of good games in a row, and Baylor's height strangled him. He couldn't do anything against that zone, against that height.
Here's the thing about Teddy. And they brought this up the other – actually, it was on Sunday's show. Because I was talking – because Tom Booth brought this up to me yesterday. He said, you know, I was talking to Charlie, and he said, you know, we really could use Teddy Buckets. And I said, here's the thing about Teddy Buckets. He could score points. Mm-hmm. The problem is – the biggest problem with this team is our defense.
Defense.
And he could score 15 points, but the guy he's guarding is going to score 20.
It doesn't help us at all. No. And once he got in the Big 12 play – when the teams had guys that were at least 4 inches taller than him, he couldn't score on them.
Well, because he couldn't create anything off the bounce.
No,
I mean, he was kind of like Teddy's a great playground player.
That's exactly right. He's a guy scoring points, but somehow he's scoring
he's
points.
A playground.
If you
took him up to the Catholic school,
he would dominate.
He'd wear people out.
He would absolutely dominate.
But against Big 12 competition, no, it's not going to happen.
No, not going to happen.
Not gonna happen. So we got Tennessee this weekend.
Yep, going ready to play in the number one team in the country.
How about that?
Oh, and I'm sure they're gonna be fired up to play. I know it's football, basketball. You got to tweet everything, but I'm sure they remember the football game.
I'm sure they do.
And West Virginia, as much as we've sucked this year, we still got a pretty good reputation for the last few years. So they're gonna be ready to play. It's not gonna be a letdown game for them. And we better bring our. But we play better. We play up the competition and down the competition sometimes, so you never know. We make some shots. Could be a game.
Could be.
Yeah.
Could be.
We'll see.
I'm not going to hold my breath, but I didn't think we were going to beat Kansas.
Yeah. Yeah, and exactly. That gave us no chance of beating Kansas.
And then we go to Iowa State next Wednesday.
Yeah.
So we're going to do the show after the Iowa State game? How are we going to do that?
Yeah. We might. We'll see. We'll play by ear. Okay. We'll maybe do it Tuesday. We'll see what news hits this weekend. All right. We'll go from there.
Sounds good.
All right, man. We'll take a break. We'll talk a little football.
Sounds good.
And then hit some two assholes with four questions.
Sounds like a plan.
All right. Welcome back to One More, and I'm going home and going to bed. Going to talk about some actually things that we like to talk about, football.
Yeah.
Because, as I've been saying,
football season.
It is football season. We got 2 weeks of signing day.
Spring practice will be here before you know.
Spring practice. We got, we're doing recruiting. We're hiring coaching staffs. Senior Bowl practice is going on. There was a screenshot today, and it was, in one screenshot, there was four WU players. There was Will Greer, Gary Jennings, David Seals, and David Long just happened to be just on the other side. It was four WU helmets.
Nice.
Yeah, there's a lot of WU helmets there. That's so it's, we'll go over that in a second. But it's fun to watch the Senior Bowl practice. I've been recording it.
It is January 23rd, and it's officially football season.
Yes. Amen.
How about that?
Basketball season is over. The only good about basketball season is get ready for next year.
Right.
Let's see who we got for next
year. Well, and we are not going to have to worry about being stressed out during March Madness.
Yes. We can just go enjoy the games.
Yep. Don't have to worry about leaving BW3s or whatever.
Don't have to worry about your name. You're losing and have to see that score all day. Nope. That's exactly right.
Just kick back and enjoy it because we suck.
That's exactly right. That's terrible.
So, I saw this week. Since Brown's been there, we've had like over 20 offers we've sent out.
Yeah. I mean, but they're all not for this year. But,
oh, no.
But,
no.
Yeah, he's.
Because we've got five scholarships left for this class.
He's hitting the ground running. I mean, he's not messing around. And I like the fact that you get a little bit worried that maybe he'll just try to recruit some younger players, you know, or some kids from, you know, some maybe lower stars.
He's swinging for the fences.
Swinging for the fences right out the gate,
yep.
Which I love.
I love it.
I love it, too. I mean, that's – and – but it's not just, hey, I'm going to offer every five-star. They're targeted ones.
Mm-hmm.
And guys who may or may not be interested in us. It seems like the ones who are interested in us and give them a chance really like them. So that could be a good sign for years to come.
And the biggest one is obviously Darnell Wright.
Yeah.
He's from Huntington, who is, I think, the second-rated tackle in the country.
I know he's a five-star.
He's a top 20. He's one of the top 20 players in the United States of America.
I know he was committed to Ohio State, but...
No, you're thinking Doug Nestor.
Oh, that's right.
He hasn't actually...
He is committed to anybody.
Supposedly been a heavy... he's a heavy Tennessee lean, supposedly. And all signs seem to point to that's probably where he's going to go. But since Brown has been in charge, he has made Darnell Wright a priority.
Yeah.
At least, I mean, he actually was... Well, Darnell Wright was in Morgantown this weekend for the Kansas game, which is another reason why that win was big.
Yes, there were a lot of
groups. You can say what you want to, but when those kids see that atmosphere...
Yeah, and even though it was called a sellout, it was not a sellout. There were a lot of empty seats for a sellout. but they were still good.
Oh, the crowd was great.
I don't know if you saw the video... Of the lower, it was from the corner. I was like behind the bench
where Haley hit the shot,
and in the student sections was bouncing. Yeah. That was awesome.
Yeah, it was. It was good.
But yeah, so that was a good weekend.
It was good to see him there for that, and it supposedly he had a good visit. And then I think yesterday, Brown and probably Matt Moore, who's our offensive line coach now, went to Huntington High, visited Darnell Wright. So I mean, they're at least letting him know that we want you to be in Morgantown.
And I just saw the top of a tweet. So I didn't actually, and it was a premium article, so I couldn't read it. But the tweet said that Darnell Wright has had more face-to-face time or has talked more with Matt Moore than he did with Holgerson's offensive line coach.
The last 2 years.
Last 2 years.
See, and you and I talked a little bit about this when we came on the air. And I have absolutely nothing to base this on. I think that Holgerson, his philosophy with in-state kids, and let's face it,
We don't have a lot.
And we've talked about this. The last 4 or 5 years, we're putting out 7, 8, 9, 10 kids. Now, granted, most of them are linemen, but still.
At least
You're putting out power five kids every year.
Yeah.
And a lot of these linemen are from the Cabell County area.
Mm-hmm.
And I just feel like that Holgerson's philosophy was, we're going to offer you a scholarship. You're in state. If you want it. We'd love to have you. If not, I'm not going to full court press you.
Yeah.
And I don't think that's the right approach to take with some of these kids, especially the kids, and like you and I talked about, in those areas where, right or wrong, they probably don't have the most favorable impression of WVU.
Exactly. Not necessarily, I mean, I'm sure there are some anti-WVU, but just not. I mean, it's a Marshall area, and as it should be, that's where the college is. I mean, that's where it should be. So, I mean, I totally get that. But we got Elijah Wellman from in there. So,
Reese Donahue.
We've overcome that when we wanted to. But, yeah, you're right.
When you got a kid that's that talented.
You got to go after him.
You got to let him know he's wanted.
Yeah, absolutely. And I don't know if he didn't want to get turned. Hogan thought it would be an embarrassment if we got turned down and we put. I'd rather you go all
if
out.
If you full and if that kid wants to go somewhere else, that's fine.
People are going to be mad at that kid.
Right.
I mean, I'll go tell you, when Randy Moss said he was going to Notre Dame, people were upset with him. Mm-hmm. I mean, is that their view? And that's the thing. I don't think we put a full effort into that either.
We didn't.
And that was their view's mistake then.
It was. And I mean, the chances of Darnell Wright coming to Morgantown, I'd put right now probably 20%, maybe.
Maybe. But it's better than what it was.
It's better than 1%. What it was. And he's supposedly down to us, UNC, because he's got a teammate at UNC, or he's got a kid that he played high school ball with, Billy Ross, who's at North Carolina. He's not going to North Carolina.
No.
It's going to be us in Tennessee. And I mean, if I'll put it to you like this. If he ends up at Tennessee, I don't think it's going to be because Neil Brown did not do everything he could to get him to Morgantown.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely.
And I'm fine with that.
And if that's the school he thinks is best for him, good for him. You know, we'll find somebody else. But, man, it'd be nice. Because if he comes here, he goes to Tennessee and is good. He's another Tennessee great
offensive
lineman.
You're an instant hero.
He's a hero if he comes here.
You're an instant hero. And he's probably going to start from day one.
Absolutely.
Now, they might move McKivitz to left tackle and put him at right tackle just to start.
Uh-huh.
And that's fine. But he's going to be given an opportunity
right
to
play off the bat.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. And the other thing, too, about Brown, there was that tragedy at Bluefield this past mm-hmm. week where that kid passed away. And I don't know if Neil Brown was planning on going down there anyway, but I thought it said a lot about him that he went to the school. And I don't know who all he took with him, but he was there. And obviously, we're looking at Sean Martin and Isaiah. Sean Martin, who's a defensive line. Have you seen him?
He's huge.
He's huge.
Yeah.
He's a 2020 defensive lineman recruit, rush in, like 6'4", 240. And then Isaiah Johnson, who's the split end, that's a 2021 recruit that everybody's after.
Yeah.
But I thought that said a lot about Brown.
And I'll tell you what I liked about it is that other people let you know that he was there. He didn't.
No, he didn't.
He was there. No. I mean, I guess some kid took a picture of him in the hallway and people knew that he was there, but he didn't publicize that he was there. He just went there. Now, granted, there was some for recruiting a couple kids there. So sure. But the fact that he showed there, you know, that week, same week, is pretty says something pretty.
It just kind of reemphasizes the kind of guy I think he is.
Yeah,
I really do. You brought up Nestor. It looks like I don't think we're in the picture for him. I think it's going to be Ohio State or Penn State. And I mean, that's fine.
Yeah, it's fine.
I mean, if that's where he wants
to go, that's fine.
And that's fine, but. We talked a little bit about this last week. We broke some news thanks to esteemed journalist Matt Chips. Austin Kendall's coming to Morgantown.
Yeah, that was big. And one, we needed another arm. We knew that. But not only did we get another arm, we got one of the most talented kids out there. And I think we now have two kids out of the top 10. Quarterbacks in the 2016 class.
Him and Allison.
Him and Allison are both of the top 10 recruits at quarterback.
Yeah.
We're in the same class, and now we got them competing for a job.
Good.
Yeah.
Because we need competition.
Yeah, and I think they're going to give Trey Lowe a chance, too. Now, Trey Lowe's going to be a freshman. Those guys got more experience. Both of them have a little bit of game time.
Mm-hmm.
So they're not going to – I don't think he's going to overtake either one of them when it comes down to it. He might. If he does, that means he's really good. But – I would say, from the offense up just a little bit, that Austin Kendall has a slight advantage, and we'll go from there.
I think so, too.
But that has made me excited about the spring game, and I hope they have it this year.
I hope.
And I heard that he runs open practices in the spring.
Really?
Yeah. Mm. So they'll have open practices. He did at Troy. Whether he does it here, I don't know. But, you know, Hogan, there was nothing open.
We're going to
We are going to the spring game.
That's happening.
Absolutely. As soon as they set the date for it, just mark everything off, we're going.
It's happening. It's definitely happening.
We're tailgating everything.
Yeah.
We're making the festival.
Yeah.
Neil Brown Festival.
Neil Brown Day. Brown Fest. Brown Stock.
The Brown Fest.
Brown Stock.
I don't know if you want to call it that.
No, I said Brown
or
Stock.
Or Brown Stock. Either one.
Brown Fest.
Either one's bad.
Yeah. Neil Time. How about Neil Time?
Now, that's pretty good.
Neil Time.
You might just hit the name of the pod for this week. Neil Time. Might be all pretty good.
Let's go with Neil. So anyway, back at the ranch, let's talk about the Senior Bowl a little bit.
Yeah, it's exciting. We got Will Greer there. We got, of course, David Seals, and Jennings was a late addition. Trevon Wesco, and then we got David Long on defense. And from what I saw yesterday, now I didn't get to see much of today's practice, but I saw yesterday, and Greer had an okay day. Well, great. He threw behind two players that I saw. And then
I heard David Long's really been impressive.
David Long, they said you can hear his hits.
Yeah.
Like, he hits. And he has good closing speed. David Seals was better than we had his argument. I didn't think he'd be a great pro. But he is.
I forgive you for saying that.
He has impressed people by not only his ability to get off the line of scrimmage and press coverage, but
separation.
Also. And what he does really good.
High points
the
ball.
Well, and he doesn't give away the ball's coming until the last minute. So defenders can't get their hands up to knock it down. He kind of leans in and then separates out and then throws his hands up, which is a pro move. I mean, it's just already a pro move. And then Jennings was the fastest guy on his team.
Yeah, by like 2 seconds.
Who would have thought that?
Must be the feather in his helmet.
Yeah, I guess that ankle injury held up pretty quickly. And then Wesco, they said, at 6'3", 270, is
a horse.
Beast. Is an absolute beast. So,
and Kajust is still hurt. He hadn't even played. And he's projected to be a
top, at least, maybe not first round, but maybe second round. But it's amazing. Out of all those players, probably the least impressive has been Will Greer. But been pretty good at interviews.
Let's talk about Greer. Because I'm not sure what to make of all this.
Well, Billy Harder, our buddy Billy, sent me a message today on our Facebook page, and he was like, "Is this BS or not?" And let's go ahead and read the because I saved it so we can read it, so we can make sure we get verbatim before we talk about it. Give me.
Well,
one.
I watched the whole interview, so I mean, I heard what he said.
He said, "I actually tore my ankle up in the Texas game.
Right.
We didn't really put it out to the media." But it was pretty rough the last few games. I went through treatment and was planning on playing for a week. Then Dana Holgerson and I sat down and thought it would be best to get Jack Allison some reps to get some younger guys reps in the bowl game. He knew how important it was for me to get healthy and chase my dream. Mm-hmm. Now that sounds to me like he's throwing the ultimate decision in Holgerson's lap.
Mm-hmm.
Now, Holgerson was on Senior Bowl yesterday, and they didn't really address it. So, I don't know if that's just...
Let me ask you this question.
PR?
What was the biggest play in the Texas game?
Was the last run. But, also, he was hobbling. You could tell he was not running to Will Greer's full
That's
speed.
Fine, but at the most crucial point in the game, if your ankle's hurt, do you call that play?
Yeah, but did he tell somebody he hurt his ankle? I mean, he might not have until after the game.
He didn't look like he was hobbling when he ran into the end zone.
If you look, he's not running as fast as you see Ruben run.
And he got to the edge and went in. Well, not even that game. The Oklahoma State game, there were two or three quarterback draw plays that he – and I don't know if that's why – maybe that's why Holgerson was – whatever. My biggest thing is, if that was the issue, why are we waiting 6 weeks to find out
That's the thing. That's a plausible – excuse. And I believe I believe his ankle was hurting.
And
the last few games, you could kind of tell his ankle was – something was wrong with him. We mentioned it on the podcast. Something was wrong with him physically. He wasn't doing the things to get out of rushes that he was doing.
Well, but that was after the Kansas game. That was early in the season.
Yeah, but maybe got worse. I can understand that excuse. But 6 weeks later,
I just didn't
after you went through a media – you just disappeared for a while?
And that was my thing. I mean, you – Not that either Dana nor Greer needed to explain themselves
right.
to me, you, or anybody else. But, I mean, when he came out and said he wasn't playing in a bowl game, and we went back and forth about it, we both said, you know, I understand why he's not doing it. I didn't like it. I wish he would have played. I understand why he didn't. But with all that flack that was out there, I just didn't understand why if he really was hurt, just come out and say, you know what, I want to play. My ankle's a little bit messed up. I've got a future to think about.
Yeah.
That's what Kajus did.
Exactly. That's what Jennings did. That's exactly what he should have done.
So, I mean, why now or 6 weeks later are we talking about?
That's what the reasoning and explanation is plausible, but the timing of it
is
terrible.
Oh, it's horrible.
It's like some guy sat around a room and thought, what's the best answer? And you said the best when you talked before the pod about the interview was sounding a little weird and almost too coached up.
It really
and
is.
That sounds like an answer that was they went to focus groups and see what answer sounded best.
They were talking about leadership.
Yeah.
And they were talking about leading by example. They were talking about being there for your guys. And I feel like, I have nothing to base this on. I don't know if that's what happened or not.
Yeah.
And not even just that, but his whole interview, and I'm not saying it was wrong, it just, watching his interviews for the last 2 years, and then watching that 6-minute clip, he sounded like a different guy. Mm. I mean, he came out and said, I'm the best quarterback in this draft. He said, I can make all the throws.
He did the velocity, his
dad tweeted about that, by the way. And that's fine. I mean, you got to be confident. It just struck me as, I was kind of like, is that Will Greer talking about all this shit? You know, and I mean, it is what it is. I mean, if he was hurt, if he wasn't hurt, the whole timing of the whole thing just.
Yeah, it puts a, I mean, let's go back. I'm still rooting for him.
Oh, I'm definitely
It puts a bad taste in my mouth. Like
I
said,
I think it's a bad look for him.
Who knows? The people in the pro scouts are going to hear what they want to hear. If they think that's a reasonable explanation, then they're going to think that sounds good. If they think, well, that's a terrible excuse, they're going to think that's a terrible. If he should have played, they're going to think that's a terrible excuse. So they're going to hear what they want to hear, and that's fine. And like, it's a plausible, but it sounds very focus groupy. That's a word.
And at the end of the day, if he can come out and make all the throws and run their offense, they don't care why he didn't play.
Yeah. They don't give a shit.
And that's fine. And we need to move on from all that.
And I hope he gets drafted first round.
I do, too. I hope he does.
I hope, because that's good for West Virginia.
I'm going to root for the kid. That whole thing just threw me off. I don't know. But, now, I will say this.
I want to go back. The question from Billy was, is it BS or not? I'm going to lean towards BS.
I am too. Greg Hunter was almost downright pissed off about it.
Really?
He was like, his ankle, he's not hurt. You don't play 4 more games and then all of a sudden you use that as excuse.
Well, I mean, if even if it was just tweaked, he could have said, you know what, I don't want to risk it. I got a future to think of. My ankle's hurt.
And you know what?
It's a good time to. And we everybody said.
Everybody would have been fine.
I totally get it.
Everybody would have been
totally
fine.
I totally get it. But then.
Because even when he said he wasn't going to play, there was probably, I'd say 50. There was a good portion of people that were upset he didn't play in a bowl game. But 50 to 60% of the people were still okay and understood. You take a step back and say, okay, I understand why you're not playing. But if he comes out and says, you know what, guys? I tweaked my ankle. I've been playing hurt for the last 3 weeks. You know, we're playing Syracuse. You guys got the future to build for. I think I'm going to sit this one out. Nobody would have said a word.
And by not doing it, if he did it because he was trying to hide an injury, well, by then talking about it now, that just ruined the whole identity. Makes no sense.
It makes no sense at all.
Anyway.
Zero sense. But.
But still rooting for him.
Now, I will say this. The fact that he did not play in that bowl game is probably the reason why we got Neil Brown.
That's a good point. That's a very good point. So maybe things are just meant to be.
Yeah.
I will take it for how it worked out. Maybe Dead Dog is not taking that job was how it was supposed to be. Here, Will Greer not playing the ball game was how it was supposed to be.
Yeah. I got to spin it somehow.
Yeah. We'll take it. We'll look at the positive side.
Absolutely.
Because it's better looking at the positive side of the basketball team.
There's not one. There's not one.
All right. So you want to take a little break, then we'll come back and talk I have four questions. I'll get my math right eventually. I'm teaching math now in high school. So.
You want to use one of your 3 timeouts?
I might need it.
Okay.
We'll be right back.
You going to make... Welcome back to... One more, I'm going home, going to bed. And welcome back to Josh Jones hitting the play button before is ready to come back from break. That's okay. I digress. So we'll get into the last segment here. 4 questions, 2 assholes. You want to go first? You want me to go first?
I'll go first. I'm happy to. You want to go sports or then...
Let's do sports first.
All right. So, I think, and I could be wrong, but I got a chance to look up Big Zach. They were both number 8 picks. Kevin White, Joe Alexander. One in basketball, one in football. Who's been the most disappointing in the pros?
Oh, God.
Now, granted, Kevin White's been hurt, and Joe Alexander's had a good pro career in China.
I will say this. I think Joe Alexander actually was a participant in the slam dunk contest. So I will say Kevin White.
Yeah, it's probably so.
Based on what he did his last year.
He still has a chance to...
I think the Bears got rid of him, though, didn't they?
Well, he was playing at the end of the year. He actually caught a pass during the
Hail Mary pass?
No, he caught an out pass in their last game, next to last game. And so he was still on the team at the end of the year. Now, I don't think he's going to be on the team next year.
No.
They're going to cut him. He's going to go somewhere else. But he's going to have an opportunity to play because he's still going to probably put up bigger numbers. So he still has an opportunity, but he's been at this point because of injury. He's been hurt the entire time.
Yeah.
And that's what's sad.
Well, it's kind of interesting, too, if you look at both of them. Because basically, I mean, Kevin White, his junior year, I mean, he did okay. He put up some decent numbers. But his senior year, he really took off over the whole season. Joe Alexander was here for basically 2 3/4 of the season, and he got elevated to the number 8 pick basically off of 12 games.
Yeah, yeah.
I mean, that Connecticut game or whatever game it was where he went off for 34 and then he dunked on that kid from Connecticut in the Big East title or tournament.
And he had one of those last season runs where all of a sudden he was full of confidence and he could do no wrong. And then you go to the pros and realize that he was super athletic. Everybody's super athletic in the pros.
Well, he wasn't a real consistent outside shooter.
No.
So when he got to the pros, it kind of negated his advantage that he had in college.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I'd say Kevin White probably. That'd be my guess.
Yeah, for now.
Yeah.
With an asterisk that it could change. Mm-hmm. But for now, it's Kevin White. And Joe Alexander's doing fine. I mean, he spoke Mandarin. So, so he was
He able probably to... speaks Mandarin better than you and I speak English.
Yeah, absolutely.
So speaking of disappointments. That's funny you brought that up. What are you more disappointed in? The fact that Sags pretty much is not going to play this year.
Mm-hmm.
Or the rest of the roster?
Oh, oh man, that's a good question. Shoot. I would say the rest of the roster. Injuries happen in basketball. People go down. I mean, Bob Huggins would have been a national champion if
Kenyon Martin
didn't get hurt. So injuries happen. So you got to deal with that and you move on with the expectations. I thought we would have enough talent to at least be competitive in an NCAA team without Sagabal Conte.
But we are not. Let me ask you this. Do you think Sags is out because he's hurt?
No. I mean, and that's why
I'm saying that.
And
so
I'm
are
not,
you more dis? Maybe I should rephrase this. Are you more disappointed in why Sags is not playing, or everybody else on the roster? That's probably what I should have said.
Yeah, I mean, if you put it that way, it's probably why. Because I don't know this, and I shouldn't say no like it's definitive because I don't know. He might be hurt. It just doesn't seem that way. It seems. It's a convenient excuse for another play. Now, he's with the team. He's traveling with the team. He's shooting before the game. So, I don't know. I don't know what to make of the situation. It's totally weird.
I mean, it is.
This is the best way to put it. It's just weird. But it is disappointing. Still, though, man, he thought the rest of the roster could make up. I mean, he's talented. He's gifted. Don't get me wrong. But we thought the rest of the roster would at least – you have him, you're number 3, you think you lose him, you drop to 5-6, but we've gone to the bottom of the league.
Yeah, we're at the bottom.
So I would say with that, it's still part of the rest of the roster.
My thing is we are so bad at staying in front of people and keeping people out of the lane. I just think with him on the block, it would change everything.
I think it would make a big difference. The game against – Pitt, even when he didn't block shots, he changed shots.
He just makes a difference.
You can't straight line drive people when he's back there. But he also gives up a lot of offensive rebound because he tries to block every shot that comes around. But so does Culver, and so does Gordon, and so does Rout. And when they don't get it, then we still get an offensive rebound. Yeah. At least he got more than he didn't get.
He did. That's true.
But, yeah, that's a good question. That's really tough. But
I went back and forth.
I'm still going to go with the entire roster because I thought this would be a deep athletic team, and it's not. And
so did Huggins.
We're athletic, but we're not. We don't have very much lateral speed. Mm-hmm. Brandon Ebers, the only one, has lateral speed, and you can't stay in front of anybody if you don't have lateral speed. No. And that's what's frustrating.
Well, what's been the strength of our team the last 5-6 years is our defense.
It's defense and rebounding, and we don't do either one of those. No. It was just frustrating
because we've been consistently a bad shooting team.
Right, that is one thing that our
defense travels.
Right, that is exactly right.
Non-sports.
All right, you want me to go first? Or you want you to go?
No, go ahead.
All right. So, I started substitute teaching.
Right.
And just accepted a long-term sub position. So, I'll be doing that for a while, so I'll be teaching. So, it made me think of, who was your favorite high school teacher?
Who was my favorite high
now,
school
I'm teacher? Now, I'm actually teaching middle school, but I went to Catholic school for 8 years.
See, this is a loaded question because I had my dad my sophomore year. So, any answer other than him is a...
Excluding your dad. Anybody with you are not related to. So I can't say Freddie Ferry either.
I can't put Freddie in
there. No, it's got to be somebody you're not related to.
Incidentally, Freddie hated me my sophomore year.
Well, you're easy to hate.
Well, I am. But it was me and Adam and John Nick and Andy Kanye. We all sat together the first day. And we talked and he sent everybody to all opposite ends of the room. There were two people in the front, two people in the back, two people in the middle. He's like, I'm not dealing with y'all. Favorite teacher? Oh, boy, that's a tough one. Just in high school?
Just in high school. Well, it could be any level. But I had Catholic school, so I had same teachers for 2 years.
Are you basing it on teaching ability or?
No, not necessarily.
Miss Stiltner was a good teacher.
And you just did like, and I knew, because everybody brings up Miss Stiltner, who was a great teacher. But most of you pick up Fergus or her looks. Was it Miss Gatewood?
I didn't have Miss Gatewood.
Yeah.
I didn't have Miss Gatewood. I'll tell you who it wasn't. It wasn't Miss Miller.
No, she was the worst. She was the absolute worst.
Damn.
I remember they were trying to play. She played Romeo and Juliet. And there was like a nude scene in it.
I'll tell you what.
And she had her hands up on the TV screen trying to block it.
I'll tell you what. There was times when I was in her class that I wish I would have done what Romeo and Juliet did. Which was eat poison and stab myself.
That class was awful.
Oh, my God.
Yeah, she taught English freshman year. She was the only B I got my entire high school career.
Me too.
Yeah.
My freshman year, honors English.
And what sucks is I had the highest grade in class. I had 91, Ron had a 90, but he got 3 bonus points for attendance, and I had braces, so I had missed the first period, so I got a B, he got an A.
That's a bullshit rule. Mm-hmm. You know who I liked? Eugene Ransom, analysis.
Yes, that's a good one.
I liked Eugene
Ransom. That is a good one.
He was a good teacher.
Yeah, I actually liked, people are going to think this is weird, Mr. Barnett from chemistry, because everybody else hated him. I loved him.
He was weird.
I absolutely loved Mr. Barnett. He loved me too. He wrote my recommendation letter to college.
He's a weird dude.
Yeah. But everybody hated Dave Barnett. I loved him. He used to let me go watch NCAA basketball tournament because he had TVs in the back of the chemistry lab.
Well, that's a good reason.
And man. I would go back because I'd finish all my work. He'd let me go back here and watch it.
Nice.
Yeah.
That's good.
All right. What's your question?
I got two questions.
It's a two. That's part, too many.
It's a two part.
This isn't 5 questions.
Yeah, but
two assholes.
It's kind of a question with a part two.
All right.
Justified or Archer?
Oh, it's Justified. I mean, Justified's the best show on television. Okay. Archer, right there underneath it.
All
right. But Justified.
To follow up.
All right.
We're going to have our combined birthday party next Friday.
Next Friday. Next
anybody
Friday.
Anybody who's listening, come on down.
Yep.
119 Halstead Street. Tash loves it. All right.
About 8-ish, 9-ish.
Yeah.
Fest will be there about 10.
Maybe. And there may or may not be a bottle of wine in her vehicle. All right. So at our birthday party, who you bringing? Are you bringing Sterling Archer or Boyd Crowder?
Oh, man.
At the birthday party. You're not robbing a bank. You're going to the birthday party.
I'm bringing Archer, and here's why. Because if I bring Boyd Crowder, I will not get to talk to Tash and all that. Archer will offend her, and she won't like him. So it'll be, but she'll fall in love with Boyd Crowder.
You think Gary, so?
Oh, guarantee. How do you not? I know. It's Boyd Crowder.
That's what I'm saying.
Yeah.
I'm
saying so you bring Archer. Now, I'm sure most girls would say the opposite. I mean, I don't know if people like how many girls.
Well, it depends on what the agenda is for the evening. I mean, are we going to hang out and have drinks and talk shit? Or are we going to rob a bank, blow shit up?
Well, I think both of them would be great at having drinks. Archer more than anybody else. But the thing is, you never know what's going to happen with Archer. Mm-mm. You don't know where you're going to end up the next morning.
You may end up in a different country. I'd love to have a beer with Boyd, though.
Oh, you kidding me?
Yeah,
absolutely. Tash and I were talking about, we're getting ready to restart watching Justified because... It's that time.
It is.
It's that time.
There's never not a good time to watch Justified.
Yep. We're getting away from electronics an hour in the evening, going to do some reading, and then another hour is going to be Justified. That's the way it's going to have to be.
It's good for the soul.
It's been good for the soul. I think I'm going to have one more, and I'm going home, going to bed.
One more, and I'm going home, going to bed.
All right. So next week, we got, I probably should have done that for, we got to talk about next week.
Go ahead.
Well, we got Tennessee over this weekend. And then we may do Wednesday night, mm-hmm. Iowa State after the game, and then we'll do some party prep.
Yeah. Gotta do that.
All right. Well, one more and I'm going home, going to bed.
One more and again, I'm going home, going to bed.